For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The following is a special KMOX sports presentation.
Welcome to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
It is a Graybar Sports Open Line as we do get into a Strike Zone hour. We've got a lot to get to here this hour. We'll talk some college football, but obviously talk some baseball as well, including our Building the Future, which is sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and data communication needs. Want to start with that because yesterday, John Mozeliak was on Sports on a Sunday Morning with Tom Ackerman, and he had, I think, something pretty interesting to say when talking about the future of the organization and changes that are going to happen inside the organization. And look, I get the where the Cardinals fan base is at right now and how many people feel about John Mozeliak. And we'll wait and see what it looks like regarding him and his position and everything here moving forward. Obviously, he's under contract through next year. Do they start that process of whoever the next person is going to be being somewhat in that role going into next year? Is it a more dramatic change going into next season? I would think just about everything is on the table right now. But it's pretty clear that the organization does need to continue to look inwardly. And if you heard Bernie Miklas with us about an hour ago or so here on the program, he talked a lot about the project that Chaim Bloom has had this year of really going and looking at everything that is happening in this organization, especially from a player and development standpoint, and assessing it and presenting to the team the changes that need to be made. And I think it's safe to say there are changes that need to be made. So I want to play this cut for you. This is John Mozeliak yesterday morning with Tom Ackerman here on KMOX. And this is in light of Gary LaRoc announcing his retirement late last week, farm director for the last 12 years. So there's going to be someone in place next year, somebody different overseeing the farm system. So this is what was said by John Mozeliak yesterday when he was speaking with Tom Ackerman.
There are the mid to small market teams that you have to get the draft and player development right. You just have to. To truly be successful in this league, you can't have many misses on your draft picks. And when you have draft picks, you got to be able to squeeze the most juice out of that as possible to really be successful. And so as I think about the future for the organization, obviously with Gary LaRoc announcing his retirement, you know, there's going to be some changes. And I think as great a job as Gary did, I think it's going to be a nice opportunity to welcome some change. And so I certainly look forward to the next few months and just see where we end up and what that leadership looks like. But, you know, I definitely feel like we do have to have some changes from within because, you know, we're not where we need to be, and we need to get back there.
Do you also, changes from within for sure, do you want to look outside? Do you want to, when the time is right, to poke around and see which teams are doing it right, which teams are doing it great, which teams are being innovative, and perhaps taking some of those people and putting them in the mix?
Yeah, to you know, give you the Cliff Note version, I mean, that's already been done.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, beginning the process of the interviewing and getting that moving, and hopefully within the next couple of months, we have leadership in place, and then we can just keep moving forward.
I think that's a very telling 90 seconds or so from John Mozeliak talking about the changes that are going to be happening, the outside voices that are likely to be joining the organization. All of those things are good. They're good. Okay. And he said it. This is not my word. I mean, I believe this, but I'm just repeating what Mo just said, that the organization is not where they need to be. They're not. They have lost their way a little bit in recent years. And the industry has changed. The industry has evolved. The industry has developed forward. And a Cardinals organization that was previously at the cutting edge of change has not been that way now for a few years. So Gary LaRocque, who did a fantastic job in his role as farm director for 12 years, he moves on, and now they get to bring in a new voice, somebody with a different take on things, and hopefully somebody with a more modern take. And I think there's going to be other changes inside the organization. The question is going to be, how high up do those changes go? And I don't know. I don't know. Like I don't take anything. I think just about anything is possible at this point. I think John Mozeliak is still going to be employed by the Cardinals next year. That's like the definitive statement that I can make. What does that really mean? Is he still going to be in his role? Maybe, maybe not. I said this earlier, but I'll repeat it. I'll probably repeat it about a million times between now and the end of the season. Is there a possibility? Because they've talked openly about wanting to have a succession plan for when Mo's time comes to an end. So does the season come to an end this year and they already have that succession plan in place and they announce it and the next guy, next individual, man or woman, comes in and starts into that role kind of shoulder to shoulder with Mo for a year? I don't know. That's possible. Or they just give that person a little bit more responsibility. I mean, look what the Blues are doing. The Blues have Doug Armstrong, but they also have a general manager in waiting. So now that's more of a multi-year process with the Blues than it will be with the Cardinals. But those situations can happen, and it's finding a way to make it work. I realize it. I understand. Trust me. I talk to people every day about this. I understand the distrust from a lot of Cardinals fans right now about the organization and about anything that you might hear from a John Mozeliak. I truly believe what we just heard, what he told Tom Ackerman yesterday morning during Sports on a Sunday Morning, I think it is a very good development for this team and for this organization. We know there are going to be changes. Now, I hope that this is not simply a case of Gary LaRocque is out, somebody new comes in as the farm director, and with that, there are changes throughout the developmental system, and that's the extent of the changes. I hope it is more than that. But to be fair, even if that is the extent of it, this is an organization that needs to get back to developing, cultivating, drafting, identifying players who can contribute in a big way, high-end type players, both from a position player standpoint and also from a pitching standpoint. That is something that this team has been missing on a lot recently. You know, for every Mason Winn who's been incredible, we've got a lot of examples of guys who have stalled out. And stalling out, look, if Nolan Gorman 2 years from now is a 270 hitter who's giving you 30 home runs and 100 RBIs every year, if Jordan Walker is a 30 home run guy, like if we can kind of look at what's going on right now as more of a blip, but there is pressure on this organization to start developing these high-end type prospects and getting them to perform at the highest level when they get to the big leagues. All right, we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk college football for the next half hour or so. First Missouri, then Illinois. Howard Richards is going to join us in just a moment or so. Missouri, the number 6 team in the nation, according to the AP poll. We'll discuss it coming up in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Back at the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight as we have a full two-hour program with no Cardinals baseball. Cardinals are back at tomorrow, opening up a series against the Cincinnati Reds. What a start it has been for Missouri football. They have outscored their first two opponents a combined 89-0. They beat Buffalo on Saturday by a 38-0 score. They go up in the polls. They are now number 6 in the AP poll. Nobody better to talk Missouri football with than analyst for the Tigers on their radio network. He is Howard Richards. You follow him on Twitter at @How_Rich. Howard, always appreciate you spending some time with us. How are you?
Hey, Matt, I'm doing well. How about you tonight?
Doing good, and the Tigers, obviously, they are doing quite well. It's been pretty impressive to see, and obviously the opposition is what the opposition is with Murray State and Buffalo, but you go out, you play the teams that are on your schedule, and this has been domination so far from the Tigers.
Hey, Matt, thanks for saying that, because that's the exact same explanation that I give people. You know, the schedules are done far in advance. It was done under a different athletics administration. I've always been a fan of playing tougher competition, certainly earlier in the season, because I think it gives you a better test of where your team is, and it prepares you better for conference play. That said, we won't really get that first test until this Saturday against the Boston College Eagles. Looking forward to that game, because I think it will really give us an indication of, how well, especially this retooled Missouri defense just really is. I think they've played very well in a lot of ways. They've started out faster than the defense did last season, and when the defense was pretty good. But I've been pleasantly surprised. Regardless of who you play, the fact that you can shut out a college football team back-to-back weeks is highly impressive, and allowing under 200 yards of total offense each week. And I just think really give a lot of credit to what the new defensive coordinator Corey Batoon has done, coming in and putting together a defense with new personnel in only a few months. And I'd say it's nothing short of impressive.
Yeah, and again, two games don't make a season. We know who they played. Like those caveats remain in place for our entire conversation. But going into the season, I mean, Missouri fans were quite honestly freaking out when everything went down with the defensive coaching staff during the year, and feeling like you were going to retain some folks, and then eventually moving on. And now, so far, as great as the offense has been, to your point, in today's college football, where a lot of points are scored almost no matter who you are, to back-to-back shutouts is just something you don't see.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's a feat. Hey, it's in the past now, for Mizzou. You're only as good as your next game, right? And facing a formidable opponent like Boston College, who certainly took out Florida State. Although we don't know what kind of team Florida State really has. Is Boston College a legitimate team? I think they are. They're well coached by Bill O'Brien. But is Florida State the same caliber of team that it was last season when they were, on the fringes of getting into the college football playoff? Just don't know. But what matters is what will happen on Saturday. Boston College will find out how good Missouri is, and Missouri will find out how good Boston College is as well. I think for the Tigers, the few guys that are on the roster that were on the team in 2021 when Mizzou went up to BC and lost in overtime, it'll be a game that those players will want to avenge, certainly. I think it makes for great competition. And it's one of these matchups, outside of the SEC and a non-conference battle that I think is going to draw more attention than your typical games that you might see on the non-conference schedule.
In many ways, it's a benefit to the Tigers that BC did knock off Florida State, because if BC's playing a PUD schedule and they're undefeated, maybe you look at them a little bit differently than knowing that they can go beat a team, no matter how good Florida State is, that Florida State's still a very respectable opponent.
No, you're exactly right. But for Missouri, I think what it has to do is in spite of all of that, look to how it can improve. Offensively, you know, 9 penalties against Murray State, eclipsed by 10 penalties against Buffalo. Not the type of football that, you know, an elite team or championship level team should be committing those types of penalties each and every week. Many of them mental mistakes. Some of these you get early in the season, but now it's time to really start to eliminate those things. Fundamentals, technique, holding calls, you know, getting your hands outside of the framework of the shoulder pads. You know, it's going to get called. And so it's about discipline, you know, looking as a player.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Looking at videotape and being critical of how you played the previous week, trying to create situations where you can, you know, overcome those things in practice this week, you know, set them up so that you don't commit the same mistakes week in and week out. That's how good teams improve. You stay before practice starts, stay a little bit after practice ends, and you try to get better each and every week. And, you know, if this team is, which I think they are serious about doing these things, they will conduct themselves in that manner and do those little things that can help propel them to get better and better each week.
Mizzou fans freaked out a little bit when Luther Burden came out. Then we learned it was an illness issue for Luther, and Coach Drink said after the game that just illness all week, and they didn't feel like it was worth putting him back in the game. I know there's really no way to know how a guy is feeling, but all indications are that he's going to continue to heal up and he should be good to go this weekend?
I heard nothing to the contrary. I mean, and I think Drink said it best. You know, it's an illness, and I'm putting this to bed right now. There's nothing else wrong with him. So until we hear something differently, we'll have to go with that. And who knows? He could have had a little stomach flu or whatever the case may be. And at that point, I think Drink did the right thing. Just pull him out, let him get rested, and maybe get ready for BC another week and a few quarters early than he would have otherwise. So, but listen, it was a good opportunity for other receivers to step up. Theo Weiss had a day. 12 catches, 140-plus yards receiving. That's the type of effort and results that you want to see when your quote-unquote best player is out of the game. You want someone else to step up, and I think these Missouri receivers are certainly up to that challenge. Very impressed with the skill-level players. So it's just a matter of, again, just working on those little things week in and week out. Really impressed with the defense. I know, again, those shutouts are maybe come with a little bit of an asterisk, but listen, against a formidable opponent like BC with the quarterback, Castellanos, who's a legitimate dual-threat quarterback, it'll be quite a challenge.
This AP poll that came out yesterday is remarkable because Missouri is the number six team in the nation. But you look at the SEC, number one Georgia, number two Texas, number four Alabama, number five Ole Miss, then Missouri, and number seven Tennessee. Six of the top seven teams in the nation come from the SEC. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Not in recent memory. I certainly haven't seen it. And also Missouri's got its highest ranking in, 15 years or something like that? That's pretty impressive also. Again, it's early. The rankings don't mean a whole lot. I think they're great for the fans. But if you want to continue to garner that type of respect, you've got to play tough football each and every week. And I know it's great for the fans. It's been great having two sellout crowds, and we'll have another one certainly on Saturday. And from all accounts, I think the rest of the games, if they're not sold out already, they should be announced that they've been sold out for the most part. So that in and of itself speaks to the level of respectability that Eli Drinkwitz and his program has, I think, earned from the fans. And they're looking forward to seeing what this team is going to do and how it competes week in and week out, especially, you know, with so many eyes on a team that hasn't had as much recent success in the last 10 years. To be ranked number five, you know, everyone's going to be watching to see what those teams in the top 10, but especially Missouri, and how they're going to perform, going forward.
Before we get you out of here, and I don't know all the details on this, so that's why I'm asking you, but just based off your social media, I see that you and our good friend Mike Claiborne are starting to do a television program together. What are the details on that?
Yeah, so Mike and I had been doing a podcast together for the last 3 years. It was called Huddle Up with Howard, and it was previously found on Mike's website, PlaguesOnline.com. We've partnered with another group, Fuse Entertainment, that has done a lot of things from the political side, but they launched the Global Fusion, and it's Fusion with an X, Global Fusion Network Television, GFNTV.com. And it reached, I think, is somewhere around 20 million people worldwide. And the platform had everything that you could possibly want, but no sports. And with Fuse being local, Cliff and Mike Franklin, who I've known for most of my life, they wanted to be able to showcase sports from a different angle, have this nice podcast. And, you know, it made sense because we've all sort of been friends forever. And, you know, with Mike's long career in baseball with the Cardinals and writing, of course, with the St. Louis American, and my background as a collegiate player and professional player and dabbling in media myself, it just seemed like a tremendous opportunity to, you know, present what we know and to showcase some pretty it's a pretty cool guest as the podcast progresses throughout the season. So it should be fun. GFNTV.com is where you can find Huddle Up with Mike Claiborne and Howard Richards.
Awesome. Very good. Well, Howard, we really appreciate you taking some time with us, and hopefully we'll talk to you again very soon as Missouri continues to pile up the victories.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, buddy.
You bet. That's Howard Richards joining us on the program. We will take a break, and when we return, we'll shift gears and we'll talk some Illini football. The sports director at WCIA-TV in Champaign will join us. He is Glenn Kinley. He joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. So this next guest that we're bringing on, I've never actually spoken with him. Let me pontificate for just a moment, though. He previously worked in Topeka, where he was covering, among other things, Kansas State Athletics. I am a K-State grad, and I wasn't following him, and some of his coverage kept popping up on my Twitter. And I'm like, man, this guy is really good at what he's doing. You don't see a lot of great TV coverage when it comes to stuff going on in the middle of Kansas, but Glenn was doing a fantastic job. have been following along with him, and he just recently picked up the job as the sports director at WCIA-TV in Champaign, Illinois. That means he's going to be covering Fighting Illini Athletics, so we've got a reason to bring him on. So I've been following along with him for a while. I've never gotten the chance to talk to him until right now. We welcome Glenn Kinley onto the program at Glenn_Kinley on Twitter. Glenn, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you?
Hey, Matt, I'm well. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate your kind words about the K-State coverage. Hopefully the Illinois coverage can be just as good, and we'll try to refrain from talking Kansas State Wildcats the entire time. I don't know how many cats you got in St. Louis listening.
Not that many. They probably don't like us, so yeah, we'll stick with Illinois athletics for sure. Illinois beats a ranked non-conference opponent at home for the first time since 2011 when they beat Arizona State as they beat Kansas this past weekend. How big of a win was that for Illinois?
Man, I'll tell you what. I said in my post-game report in our 10 p.m. show that I thought, obviously, it only counts for one on the standings and on the record for the year, but I thought it was a win that carried more weight than one football game. You're talking about a sellout crowd, and there's a difference. You get sellout crowds because your fans are all in, and they're ready to roll no matter what, and they're thinking you're going to win the conference title or whatever it might be. And then you get sellout crowds of the fans who say, these guys might be up to something. Let's go check these guys out. And that's what I said on a different show I went on before the game. They asked about the sellout and it being the first one, you know, in almost a decade or whatever it was. And I told them, I said, I think there's like some curiousness in the Illinois fan base. Like fans who are like, I think this team might be all right. They got the quarterback back. They got a lot of local talent on the team. They got a couple big, really big pickups in the transfer portal. And so the fans show up for that game, and then how could you not want to come back after you go to that and see, I mean, the cliche to say, but the real winners of that one might have been the fans, because that was just a terrific football game, you know? And so I would imagine they'll be back. I would imagine the fan support grew even that much more. Obviously, a lot of them ended up on the field. That's a huge win for Brett Bielema and for the program, not just for this year and this team.
It feels like this was the make or break year for Bielema, 20-19 record with the win in his 4 years in charge. They were at a point under his leadership that if they didn't take a big step forward, there might have been a change. And obviously there's a lot of football left to be played, and the gauntlet that is the Big Ten Conference, one win doesn't make a season, but this at least sets them up to have some success this year.
They have a lot of winnable games on the schedule. Win this week and you're going to be ranked. I would imagine they were the first team out of the top 25 this week. So take care of business against Central Michigan and you're going to be ranked. You go to Lincoln, that's going to be a tough game. But they have some winnable games on the schedule. And, man, I tell you, I think Kansas is pretty good. I covered K-State and KU when I was out in Topeka, and I think this is a good Kansas team. You're talking about a team that on their two deep, the Jayhawks have, I want to say, 30-something guys. That's a veteran squad. They returned a lot of really good ball players. They have one of the best running backs in the country, I think, in Devin Neal. I don't think they gave him the ball enough, but that's another conversation. But I think that's an impressive win, and that can give a team a lot of confidence, man. And so if they can play the way they did on Saturday, or even better, they can win a lot of games this year, and I think you're right. I think they need to win a lot of games this year and just give fans something to be excited about. When we had our pregame show with one of the guys from 24/7 Sports here in Champaign, he said the fans want to be excited, but they want a reason to be excited, and you got to give them that. I think that's what they did on Saturday. They said, thank you for coming out, and let's make it worth it for you, and they did that.
They're down going in the fourth quarter. They're down by a 17-13 score, and then they outscore Kansas 10-0 in the final quarter. Was that them just wearing Kansas down, or did something flip for them in that final quarter?
They threw the ball downfield, and I thought Luke Altmyer just was a field general. I thought the way that he managed that drive was impressive. He made some great throws, but more than that, I thought just the way that it was it was surgical, it felt like, the way that they drove the ball down the field. And then even the way that they didn't get in the end zone for that second one that would have really put the dagger in there, but the way that they took a whole lot of time off the clock on that very last drive and then ended up getting three and giving the ball to Kansas with very little time, and I think one or maybe zero timeouts. I think it was zero. That was a really good drive, and Luke Altmyer showed that he can let her rip, man. And Kansas, you could make the argument, I mentioned their running backs, but you could make the argument that their best position group is their cornerbacks. They had two cornerbacks who probably could have gone pro this past offseason. Those two guys were both preseason All Big 12, Melo Dotson and Kobe Bryant, I'm talking about. And then, boy, Pat Bryant, two big catches. I think it was something like 28 yards and 37 yards, not in that order, on that touchdown drive for the lead. Zachary Franklin, they were going to him all night, and then maybe they put so much attention on Zachary that they aired it out to Pat Bryant. He made a couple really good grabs, and Luke put it on the money. I think Luke Altmyer is playing so much more confident than he was a year ago at this time, and you can really see it. And I think he's learning, hey, my receivers might be really good. Why would I not want to air this thing out, throw it up there, and let him go get it?
When they ran the ball in the fourth quarter, they gave it to the freshman running back, Valentine. He had 25 yards on 8 carries, all of which came in the final quarter. He's got a ton of explosiveness. Did he show himself out in the fourth quarter where maybe he's going to get used a little bit more moving forward?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was one of the things I was hoping we would talk about, maybe underrated story or note from this game that maybe you wouldn't catch to the casual fan. But for Khalil Valentine to go out there, and it wasn't just get us 1 yard, get us 2 yards, he had a couple really good runs. I think at least one or two of them were for first downs. And for them to put him out there, all the talk preseason, I shouldn't say all, but most of the talk preseason was about Aiden Lawfrey and Caden Fagan, as it should have been. Those are a couple real good and real large running backs. But for Khalil Valentine to do that, I would be surprised if we didn't see him on the field more and probably carrying the ball more a little bit. And that was the running backs coach, Thad Ward. He actually used to be at K-State as well. But Bielema, or maybe it was the offensive coordinator, Barry Lunny, today. But one of them said that was Thad Ward who said, I trust this guy, give him the football. And if you got the trust of your position coach, there's a reason for that. That wasn't just let's see what this guy's got. He must have shown something in fall camp to get that opportunity at the most important part of the game.
Fighting Illini fans in the St. Louis area and everybody listening to this program should be following along with Glenn Kinley on Twitter at Glenn_Kinley, GLENN_KINLEY, brand new sports director at WCIA TV there in the Champaign area. Glenn, thank you so much for your time. Great to get to know you a little bit, and hopefully we can bring you back on here on a regular basis.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Thanks for having me on, Matt, and good to meet you over the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. That's Glenn Kinley joining us here on the program. His coverage, again, of the school that I root for, K-State, when he was working in Topeka, was just absolutely fantastic. A lot of times when you get into those, not that it's a smaller market, but markets that are not huge, you don't see a lot of coverage that kind of jumps off the page or jumps off the social media feed. His stuff did, and I started following along, and the moment he got that job in Champaign, it's like, all right, we're going to be bringing this guy on KMOX because he's good at what he does. So we'll hear from him fairly often when talking about Illinois. And that was a really good win for them against Kansas. And now they've got a very winnable game coming up this Saturday when they're going to match up against a pretty good Central Michigan team. One more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the program. A sad day today. We found out that James Earl Jones had passed away. He certainly had an impact in some sports movies. We're going to discuss that in just a moment here on Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
The iconic voice of James Earl Jones, and he certainly had a lot of things that he said in his career that were just that iconic. We learned earlier today that the great actor had passed away at the age of 93, and as you might expect, tributes have been coming in. Welcome back in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. He, from a sports standpoint, and that speech obviously from Field of Dreams, you think about The Sandlot being another movie that he had a very, very large role in, two iconic baseball movies. He was actually, I looked it up, he was in 11 different sports movies. starting with the Great White Hope in 1970, the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings in 1976, the Greatest in 1977, the Greatest Thing That Almost Happened also in 1977, then Not Another Sports Movie until he did Field of Dreams in 89 and The Sandlot in 93. So those were his back-to-back sports movies. He was in Rebound in 1996, Muhammad Ali Through the Eyes of the World in 2001, Unforgivable Blackness, The Rise and Fall of Jack Johnson in 2004, The Sandlot 2 in 2005, and then The Benchwarmers in 2006. Those were the sports movies for James Earl Jones. And if you're like me, again, those two main ones, Field of Dreams and The Sandlot, as rewatchable of movies as you can ever see, and he had such a large role in both of them. I know people who, look, the moment that that Ray starts playing catch, the tears start coming down for folks, and I understand it. I don't know. I was so sad today. I knew I wanted to talk about this in the final segment today, but I'm kind of without words at the same time. You know, there's these people out there, actors and other people in popular culture that you never meet, that they're just out there doing their job, and they're very good at their job. And for him, he was an incredible actor and an incredible voice talent. You think about him saying, "This is CNN," over and over and over for all those years, being the voice of CNN. And he continued to produce great, great, great content. And I was dubbing in that speech earlier today. Kyle Sixt is producing for us today. Kyle, you looked at me and said, "Oh, now I got to go watch Field of Dreams."
Right. That's exactly what I thought. And you just played that intro. It gave me goosebumps. Yeah. Now I got to go home and watch Field of Dreams. I mean, such a classic movie. And I mean, him playing, you know, Terrence Mann and Mr. Myrtle and The Sandlot, just so legendary.
It is. It is. So a sad day that James Earl Jones has passed away again. Age of 93. We haven't really seen much from him recently. The last time I remember seeing him do anything, I don't know. I think he was like Jimmy Fallon, and he was on stage, but he was doing like a monologue, and he was sitting in a chair. He wasn't getting around that well. He was 93 years old, and that happens. But you think about somebody who certainly left a legacy with what they were able to do. Pretty darn impressive. Cardinals back at tomorrow as we start to wrap things up. What's on Deck, sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have, the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Cardinals and Reds tomorrow. We'll see what they're able to do against Cincinnati. It's going to be Andre Pallante who's going to start tomorrow. 6:45 first pitch. That means I'll have you for the pregame beginning at 5:50, and looking forward to talking to you then. Thanks for being tuned in. Thanks to all of our guests. Great lineup of guests today. Bernie Mikolas, Dan Reardon, Howard Richards, Glenn Kinley. That was a lot of fun to be able to talk to all of them. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. Again, our coverage of Cardinals baseball will begin tomorrow at 5:50. We'll talk to you then right here on KMOX.
What a great...
Zachary Franklin, they were going to him all night, and then maybe they put so much attention on Zachary that they aired it out to Pat Bryant. He made a couple really good grabs, and Luke put it on the money. I think Luke Altmyer is playing so much more confident than he was a year ago at this time, and you can really see it, and I think he's learning, hey, my receivers might be really good. Why would I not want to air this thing out, throw it up there, and let him go get it?
When they ran the ball in the fourth quarter, they gave it to the freshman running back, Valentine. He had 25 yards on 8 carries, all of which came in the final quarter. He's got a ton of explosiveness. Did he show himself out in the fourth quarter where maybe he's going to get used a little bit more moving forward?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was one of the things I was hoping we would talk about, maybe an underrated story or note from this game that maybe you wouldn't catch to the casual fan. But for Khalil Valentine to go out there, and it wasn't just get us 1 yard, get us 2 yards, he had a couple really good runs. I think at least one or two of them were for first downs, and for them to put him out there, all the talk preseason, I shouldn't say all, but most of the talk preseason was about Aiden Loughery and Caden Fagan, as it should have been. Those are a couple real good and real large running backs, but for Khalil Valentine to do that, I would be surprised if we didn't see him on the field more and probably carrying the ball more a little bit. And that was the running backs coach, Thad Ward. He actually used to be at K-State as well. But Bielema, or maybe it was the offensive coordinator, Barry Lunny today, but one of them said that that was Thad Ward, who said, I trust this guy, give him the football. And if you got the trust of your position coach, there's a reason for that. That wasn't just let's see what this guy's got. He must have shown something in fall camp to get that opportunity at the most important part of the game.
Fighting Illini fans in the St. Louis area and everybody listening to this program should be following along with Glenn Kinley on Twitter at Glenn_Kinley, GLENN_KINLEY. Brand new sports director at WCIA TV there in the Champaign area. Glenn, thank you so much for your time. Great to get to know you a little bit, and hopefully we can bring you back on here on a regular basis.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Thanks for having me on, Matt, and good to meet you over the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. That's Glenn Kinley joining us here on the program. His coverage, again, of the school that I root for, K-State, when he was working in Topeka, was just absolutely fantastic. A lot of times when you get into those, not that it's a smaller market, but markets that are not huge, you don't see a lot of coverage that kind of jumps off the page or jumps off the social media feed. His stuff did, and I started following along, and the moment he got that job in Champaign, it's like, all right, we're going to be bringing this guy on KMOX because he's good at what he does. So we'll hear from him fairly often when talking about Illinois. And that was a really good win for them against Kansas. And now they've got a very winnable game coming up this Saturday when they're going to match up against a pretty good Central Michigan team. One more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the program. A sad day today. We found out that James Earl Jones had passed away. He certainly had an impact in some sports movies. We're going to discuss that in just a moment here on Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
The iconic voice of James Earl Jones, and he certainly had a lot of things that he said in his career that were just that iconic. We learned earlier today that the great actor had passed away at the age of 93. And as you might expect, tributes have been coming in. Welcome back in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. He, from a sports standpoint, and in that speech, obviously from Field of Dreams, you think about The Sandlot being another movie that he had a very, very large role in, to iconic baseball movies. He was actually, I looked it up, he was in 11 different sports movies, starting with The Great White Hope in 1970, The Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings in 1976, The Greatest in 1977, The Greatest Thing That Almost Happened also in 1977, then not another sports movie until he did Field of Dreams in 89 and The Sandlot in 93. So those were his back-to-back sports movies. He was in Rebound in 1996, Muhammad Ali Through the Eyes of the World in 2001, Unforgivable Blackness, The Rise and Fall of Jack Johnson in 2004, The Sandlot 2 in 2005, and then The Benchwarmers in 2006. Those were the sports movies for James Earl Jones. And if you're like me, again, those two main ones, Field of Dreams and The Sandlot, as rewatchable of movies as you can ever see, and he had such a large role in both of them. I know people who, look, the moment that that Ray starts playing catch, the tears start coming down for folks, and I understand it. I don't know. I was so sad today. I knew I wanted to talk about this in the final segment today, but I'm kind of without words at the same time. You know, there's these people out there, actors and other people in popular culture that you never meet, that they're just out there doing their job, and they're very good at their job. And for him, he was an incredible actor and an incredible voice talent. You think about him saying, "This is CNN," over and over and over for all those years, being the voice of CNN. And he continued to produce great, great, great content. And I was dubbing in that speech earlier today. Kyle Sixt is producing for us today. Kyle, you looked at me and said, oh, now I got to go watch Field of Dreams.
Right. That's exactly what I thought. And you just played that intro. It gave me goosebumps. Yeah. Now I got to go home and watch Field of Dreams. I mean, such a classic movie. And yeah, I mean, him playing, you know, Terrence Mann and Mr. Myrtle and the Sandlot, just so legendary.
It is. It is. So a sad day that James Earl Jones has passed away again. Age of 93. We haven't really seen much from him recently. The last time I remember seeing him do anything, I don't know. I think he was like Jimmy Fallon, and he was on stage, but he was doing like a monologue, and he was sitting in a chair. He wasn't getting around that well. He was 93 years old, and that happens. But you think about somebody who certainly left a legacy with what they were able to do. Pretty darn impressive. Cardinals back at tomorrow as we start to wrap things up. What's on Deck, sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Cardinals and Reds tomorrow. We'll see what they're able to do against Cincinnati. It's going to be Andre Pallante who's going to start tomorrow. 6:45 first pitch. That means I'll have you for the pregame beginning at 5:50, and looking forward to talking to you then. Thanks for being tuned in. Thanks to all of our guests. Great lineup of guests today. Bernie Mikolas, Dan Reardon, Howard Richards, Glenn Kinley. That was a lot of fun to be able to talk to all of them. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. Again, our coverage of Cardinals baseball will begin tomorrow at 5:50. We'll talk to you then right here on KMOX.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.